modern nation he wanted to build. As a UNESCO World Heritage Site, Harare cannot construct new buildings within the old city's walls. But new buildings do go up outside the old city, and technology creeps in from all directions.
So the coming year is holy war, hopeful, no war, no problems.
Jeff Pierce is a Canadian author who has spent 10 years working on a book about the country's war with Italy. In his decade of research, he has interviewed some of the top experts on Ethiopian history.
Emperor Haile Selassie, of course, he had a special connection to Harar, and he invested in coffee plantations. He was very shrewd financially, but he was also very politically astute.
These were the rules of King Haile Selassie. So these are medals which are gotten from different countries.
Haile Gasho is a tour guide who has taught himself four languages and shows visitors around Haile Selassie's honeymoon palace in Harare.
That's a very young Rasmus.
Yes, I did. The Haile Selassie's time, actually, I was like 2 years for that, and my family used to mention that he's one of a good leader. And everything is, the main reason what they mention is everything is very peaceful and most of the things are very cheap.
They have been brought together by the man dead almost four decades, who tried to bring together his nation, his continent, and the world, often with his own personal touch.
The most unique habit about King Haile Selassie, he's not only pretending like a king and always staying in the palace. So my grandfather used to tell me that he always go to a place where people get sick, like in the hospitals, and visit people. And people who don't have finance, they're supported by King Haile Selassie. So he's a really nice king, in my opinion.
Rastafar was the son of nobleman Ras Makonnen, a provincial governor. He was also an Ethiopian hero for fighting off invading Italians in the late 1800s. Ras Makonnen is buried in this Harare church in a place of honor. His compatriots who died repelling the Europeans are buried underneath the church. His father decided to educate young Rastafar with tutors of different specialities, one an Ethiopian monk and the other a Mexican surgeon. Ras Makonnen had two sons. Upon his death in 1908, his eldest, Yilma, inherited the post. 2 years later, he also passed away, and Rastafar became governor while still a teenager.
If you want to understand the Ethiopian sort of feudal politics, it was really like Game of Thrones. It really was. Imagine this boy who's a duke, and he is given responsibilities to run this province at 14 years old. And he's trained by a Catholic priest. He's not trained by an Orthodox Ethiopian cleric. So already the other nobles are suspicious of this kid.
At 24, he was appointed regent by Empress Zeuditu, who used the young man to solidify her own hold on power due to his influential family. This made Rastafar heir to the throne, but he would have to survive some challenges to become emperor.
When there was a rebellion against him, sometime around when he was regent and soon to become emperor, he was a fan of flight. And he got a plane, and they bombed and machine gunned the rebels. So you had these guys with spears and antique rifles and spears and shields coming out. And here's this biplane coming over, bombing you. Well, that ends that.
Eventually, the Empress passed on, and it was time for him to take the throne. This moved him from Harare, through the Ethiopian countryside, to the new capital of Addis Ababa.
At that time, we couldn't assume the buildings. There are huts, different kinds of huts, and a very big house, maybe one commander of the army. The other low-level commanders, they built their huts around his home, around 11,000 people in Addis Ababa. And there is no road, you see, Nobody can assume that. Therefore, when Haile Selassie came to the power, very big buildings were churches.
While Addis was still primitive, the new emperor had big plans and decided to build a world-class palace that would impress Ethiopians and foreign visitors alike.
This palace also it was built after his coronation in 1934. 1934 with 800 workers and 8 months.
Of a museum on the ground of the country's first university, which he himself founded. His visits with students showed the early priority he was putting on modernizing education in Ethiopia.
He used to visit many schools throughout the whole Ethiopia. He was encouraging students to learn. He was even giving us incentives by giving a small amount of money. He used to give us a sweater and so on and so forth. So he was encouraging us to learn.
I grew up in his family's schools. You know, I started with his grandson's school, then his son, Ras Mokonnen, and then went to his another grandson in person. Had the opportunity once or twice to meet him.
Haile Selassie wanted young people who could do more than just read or write, who would become diplomats, scientists, engineers, but he had to start with the basics.
I think I must have been 7 or 8 years old, and we lined up to meet him, and that's the first time I saw him. And he gave us 50 cents each, and I value that money. That's the money I used to buy the first pencil and the first writing pad.
The young emperor's passion for education would eventually bear fruit, but in the early years, it was opposed by the nobility that Rastafari had come from.
See, Haile Selassie used to give gifts on Christmas Day to the students going to school. In those days, the feudal system in the, well, they call them now reactionaries, but they're truly conservative people, didn't want their children to be going to school and get contaminated by Western culture. But Haile Selassie was desperate to have educated people for his administration, for his services. And even the children, he wrote them, it is the servants' children that they sent to school. And his first ministers were composed of mostly commoners, not from the nobility.
In order to push forward his agenda for modern education, he needed to win over this nobility, which he did by supporting tradition.
Haile Selassie is a very good diplomat. He was also conservative. He tried to keep the tradition of Ethiopian people and the tradition of the monarchy, to keep his hierarchy. And he tried also to keep the throne.
To unify the country and have everyone support his modern ideas, he would need to earn the loyalty of those from the country's other 80 tribes.
Ethiopia is a federal state. There are 83 ethnic groups who represent 83 ethnic groups. Perhaps King Haile Selassie from 3 ethnic groups, Amhara, Oromo, and Gurage or Sinti. Therefore, but I was arrested. 83 ethnic groups, not easy. 80 ethnic groups, they have their own culture, their tradition, their belief. Even their traditional kings, they have it.
Perhaps the most crucial factor that helped him to unify the country and gain acceptance for his modernization program was the support of the powerful Ethiopian Orthodox Church. Upon his coronation, he was renamed Haile Selassie, in the Amharic language, Power of the Trinity. As emperor, he became the head of the Orthodox Church, and by tradition, had a religious right to rule.
Before 1974, just the state and the religion, it was linked. Who coronated King Haile Selassie? By the church. That's why I said it. The churches, because the churches, it was belonging to for the king. It's more dominant. You cannot separate the churches and the kings. And also they have a power. They were also one third of the land, it was belonging to for the churches.
Of course, for us, you know, we think he's like God, you know, and he himself did not give us that coin, by the way. It's Abana, his treasurer, who goes out and hands coin, and our eyes are with him. You know, a very short fellow, walking, and, you know, that's it. You know, you can imagine at that age, we thought God was on earth.
While he was promoting an agenda based on logic and progressive ideas, legend was a powerful tool of the church. It claims a biblical relationship between its monarch and the famous Jewish leader and legendary wise man, King Solomon. The Ethiopian royal line, so Haile Selassie himself, is said to descend directly from the Queen of Sheba.
I, for one, it's very difficult to justify that Haile Selassie was a direct descendant of Emperor Selassie and Queen Sheba and King Solomon. But we simply took it for granted, for we love and respect Emperor Haile Selassie.
It was before Christ, 955 BC. And while she was traveling to Israel, and she was a beautiful woman, and she was asleep with him, while she came to Ethiopia, she was pregnant and born Menelik first after 9 months and 5 days.
While Haile Selassie disavowed the legend to educated friends and foreigners, it was part of the powerful hold he had over the common people. The emperor's religious authority would seem to make it easy to unify the nation, but he decided to use his personal touch to make people believe in his love for his country and its people.
He was everywhere in Ethiopia. He was with car, sometimes with helicopter, for example, 1965. He was with Queen Elizabeth in Gondar, Eritrea. Even they camping in Gondar city, almost 40 kilometers far from Gondar, and they were camping.
Question de gizye zangise. Nersale, ba Asmara, ba Gondin, ba Dredoa, ba Jumma, ba Gondar, ucha galare runji, sepe ande motal kar, ay karay.
Batam toddaj marina baru. በአውሮፓ ቋንቋ ፖፑላር እንደሚባለው በጣም ተወዳጅ መሪ ነበሩ ህዝቡ ታሪካቸውን ያምናል አሰራራቸውን ያምናል መሪነታቸውን በትልቅ ደስታ ተቀብሏል እና አሁን ድረስ ስማቸው የገነነ ነው በያለበት ብንሄድ ብንጠይቅ ብናይ በዛን ዘመን የነበረና የሚያውቃቸው ይወዳቸዋል.
His accessibility also showed he had an open mind, something that helped him learn from his people and change with the times.
The other encounter was when I was in civil aviation school. That is funny. I had a girlfriend. And in those days, you know, if you have a girlfriend, it has to be very, very secretive. So we're asked walking her home, and we made sure that we'll not encounter her brother. So we took a small alley, and so we were walking, taking our time, chatting, no car. And all of a sudden, we heard a small knock on the horn. We turned around, it was Emperor. We saw the flag. I pulled her out, and we bowed. I'll never forget it. He looked at me laughing, and he said, I saw you. These are my encounters, actually.
China, right? If you are a husband, I listen. I listen. When you are a good get in a mlongi. You can bagger get a woman, get a little chilalo, you get in.
While he spent a lot of time cultivating popularity with his Ethiopian subjects, he also courted international favor.
He was a famous diplomat, and a lot of countries has a very good relation with him. African countries, Europe, or also America.
He was everywhere, almost 2,600 something, 2,600 times. He was visiting the 14 provinces. During his time, at that time it was 14 provinces, even he was visiting 167 countries in the world.
Occasionally, there was criticism.
Well, his detractors would say he's going there to have fun, but I am sure it's for diplomatic purposes that he went. He would go to America, meet Kennedy or Eisenhower. I think he had met them both. I don't think he would just jibe and come back. He would come with programs of aid and projects of one sort of or another.
The emperor learned about modern ideas and technology, bringing home worldly knowledge and friendships.
በኢንተርናሽናል ጉዳይ ላይ ተባብሮ ለመስራት ሲሆን ሁለተኛው ደግሞ ኢትዮጵያን በይበልጥ ለማስተዋወቅ ነው።
Haile Selassie anticipated globalization even on the modest scale of the 1930s. In 1923, he signed Ethiopia up to be the first African country to join the League of Nations, the forefather of the United Nations.
I decided to come myself to defend the cause of my people before the Council of the League of Nations. I hope that the Council will be good enough to excuse me from reading the whole of my declaration.
He saw his country being pulled between the development of an industrialized Europe and its place in its own still wild continent of Africa.
He would send young Ethiopians, very talented young intelligentsia, off to the capitals of Europe to get an education, because he recognized that the country had to modernize.
His initial choice appeared to be to lean toward Europe. There he mined ideas that would help build ministries, schools, and institutions that were aimed at taking Ethiopia from a primitive feudal state to a modern nation.
ቀዳማዊ ስላሴ አመራራቸው አስተዳደራቸው የተመሰረተው ኢትዮጵያን በዘመናዊ ስልጣኔ እንድትጠቀም ለማድረግና በአዲስ መልክ ለመምራት ነው።
In 1931, he became the first absolute ruler to voluntarily write a constitution, which established a judicial system while still keeping most of the power of government in the emperor's hands.
Until 1974, he shows different kinds of developments in the country. We couldn't deny these kinds of changes. The first constitution was written in his monarchy time. The second constitution also improved by his power time. He tried to bring Ethiopia to civilization, to civilize the society, but How far he tried to bring this country, it has its own limitation.
Alassane Nasser was highly interested to have many modern scholars in Ethiopia to change, to bring fundamental change in terms of civilization and development as well.
His early efforts to modernize his country through education had only 6 years to progress before tragedy struck. In 1936, fascist Italy decided once again to be the first European colonizers of Ethiopia.
The entire world was fascinated by this war. It was on the New York Times, it was in the London Times. 20,000 black Americans were marching in Harlem over this war. There are battleships in the Mediterranean about to go to war with Italy over this war. And it was a precursor to the Second World War. It had a huge impact on world events.
The emperor tried to use his connections to head off the Italian attack. He delivered an impassioned speech to the League of Nations, pleading for the world's interference.
The jeers of fascists in the gallery did not stop him. I am here to claim justice, he said. What reply shall I take back to my people? So, said the emperor, it is us today. It will be you tomorrow.
ቀዳማዊ ስላሴ በዛ ቦታ ሄደው ራሳቸው የኢትዮጵያ ህዝብ ከህግ ውጪ በጥጋበኛ ዲክታተር ምን ያህል ግፍ እንደተፈጸመበት በሚገባ አስረድተዋል። አንድ ንጉሰ ነገስት ወይም አንድ መሪ በዛን ዘመን ሄዶ በሊግ ኦፍ ኔሽን ፎረም ላይ ወይም ሸንጎ ላይ አቤቱታ ያቀረበ ከሳቸው በፊት የለም።
Our emperor also made a very remarkable and prophetic speech. He said to them, it is we today and you tomorrow. After which all the Europeans had fallen under the strongest and brutal heel of Hitler. So it was the kind of prophecy that had already taken place.
His eloquence, moral authority, and logic fell on deaf ears. Despite the League's refusal to intervene, he continued to hope that the strength of his people and the righteousness of their position would defeat the Italians.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
The Italians hit Harar, his youthful stronghold.
Mussolini's planes bombed this city. They wiped out the oldest mosque in Africa. And few people know about it, but there was no military installations here. They just decided, let's scare the living daylights out of the Hararis. And Emperor Haile Selassie, of course, he had a special connection to Harar, and he was very hurt, but, you know, he was very emotionally moved by the plight of the people here.
Eventually, the Italians took the capital, burning his palace and shocking Ethiopians with their targets.
They killed more than 300 priests and monks.
It retarded the country. The Italians under Mussolini massacred an entire generation that could have led this country into the 20th and 21st century.
Haile Selassie went into exile in Bath, England in 1936.
He nearly died there practically of pneumonia and sickness because it was so cold, he wasn't used to the climate. He came back here and I believe it affected his character deeply that he was never going to give up control and never going to divest control to other people.
For 5 long years, the emperor suffered in tough conditions, in damp cold weather until 1941. Once the Italians were chased out by Ethiopian freedom fighters operating from the countryside, he was welcomed home to reclaim his throne and once again try to unite and modernize Ethiopia.
We had the most difficult time with him. When the Italian invasion, for example, Ethiopia has never been invaded by any enemy. It's been always free land, the freedom fighter, and its people defended their country 5 years was his time. And he was lucky enough to actually regain the freedom and helped many of the African nations to get their freedom too. And so he was really a very special, God-gifted person.
But his time away from home had given him some valuable perspective, and he would return with a plan on how to build a new Ethiopia and how to try and empower Africa so it could look after its own. The pillars he would build his modern Ethiopia on would be people, educators, cultural heroes, diplomats, engineers and mechanics, and even pilots. To try and connect Africans, he would build an airline and use his wisdom, charm, and diplomatic experience to move Africa forward toward an era of independence and unity.
After independence, he really wanted to modernize this country, this nation.
When the AU was established in 1963 and black and white television was introduced for the first time, so it was a very exciting time.
He allowed us to visit the palace here in front.
The general populace worshipped him.
His drive to modernize Ethiopia restarted with urgency after the Italian occupation ended and he was back in Addis Ababa. Was to create an educated class of young people who could power his country forward with their intelligence and ability to adapt to new ideas in a rapidly developing world. He started with two schools, one for secondary students and one for university pupils.
He made education his priority. As a matter of fact, for many, many years, he could not trust anybody else. He himself was Minister of Education. For many years. He took it in. I tell you, this is why he used to come in every boarding school. He was like our father, bring fruits and so on.
Na batmirt bakul, batalayim rasachow, kahaya amatat balai, yetmirt minister natun sultanizow. አገሩን ይመሩ ስለነበረ ትምህርት ሚኒስቴርን ይመሩ ስለነበረ ብዙ የትምህርት ወጣቶች አፍርተዋል.
Today there are hundreds of secondary schools throughout the nation and over 150 colleges or universities.
So this was really something that in different subjects he was always interested in seeing and helping people and education. So he was the Minister of Education himself, to educate all of us, actually, to bring us to this level, unless we forget whatever he has done. So we are his products, I would say.
From 1855 up to 1974. Yes, this is the modern history of Ethiopia. Is that clear?
Haile Selassie's crusade to create a brilliant team of young achievers helped steer his nation to where it is now.
Modern education is his legacy. The other thing is that not just education, but excellence in education.
He quickly grew local educators to replace foreigners. And here was a place to start his Pan-African leadership. In 1958, he invited 200 African students to Ethiopia to study at Haile Selassie University, now called Addis Ababa University. He wished to transfer his dream of modern education to the rest of Africa, but he also saw the need to engage others to promote Ethiopia's role on the continent. By bringing European diplomats, scholars, and tourists to Ethiopia, he also saw a way to increase his countrymen's exposure to new ideas and develop international trade partners. But he needed to make sure they appreciated his nation.
This is your first ambassador in Ethiopia.
So he turned to some of the young Ethiopians he was building his contemporary society on, including Habte Selassie Tafese.
Oh, I could see him any day. He was very kind with me.
The emperor sent him off to Germany on Ethiopian Airlines' first flight there. He came back with some ideas on tourism.
That was the first inaugural flight, Ethiopian Airlines to Frankfurt. Big deal. And in the process, the Germans were talking about tourism.
The emperor instructed him to get a tourism operation going.
The emperor called me. He said, you have to do this job. I said, Your Majesty, I know nothing about this job. He told me, try. That reward I remember. Try. It's like an order. Camouflaged order. So I said, okay.
Haile Selassie was always helpful in the efforts to impress foreigners, dignitaries, or ordinary tourists.
If I go there, I tell my tourists, he said, bring them. I bring 10, 50, 30 tourists to him. He orders champagne. He orders teach. He gives them to drink. They take a picture together, take a picture with the tame lion, and visit. He allowed us to visit the palace here in front. Tourists went, took pictures, I went out, look around, even his bedroom.
After a few years of bringing in groups of foreigners and shooting photos all over the country, Habte Selassie coined the country's famous tourism slogan.
I'm surprised you didn't ask me about the slogan, 30 months of sunshine. I coined for Ethiopia.
Oh, okay.
It has a meaning. First of all, Ethiopia is 13 months, our calendar. And then there is sunshine 13 months a year. Anytime. The rainy season, rain comes. All of us know that after 15 minutes, sun will come out.
Ethiopia uses what they call the Gaze calendar, which is 7 years difference from the commonly used Gregorian calendar, and also breaks the year down into 13 months. Another area that enjoyed the emperor's personal touch was culture. And in particular, theater.
Right over there where that bench is, the emperor and the queen were sitting right there.
Actor Haimanot Alemu remembers when he was 9 years old and the emperor came to see a play at his school.
He had come to see a play and he brought the queen, and they both sat sort of where you are now, and the play was Molière's The Miser. Excellent actor, McConaughey Dory was so good, and so I sat there, and half the time I wasn't watching the play, I was watching the emperor, and I saw the play. It looked simple, it looked like a simple thing to do on stage, enough to bring an emperor to our school, and that's when I decided that I want to be an actor, and never changed my mind since.
Hymenot's career blossomed with encouragement from the emperor and the occasional scolding.
The emperor came, and I played the Italian collaborator, which is a character everybody loved to hate. And I have a very bad monologue where I really slam Ethiopia and Ethiopians. And he walked out of the theater and went to the palace. Then the three actors and the playwright were called to the palace and was given a dressing down. He was really upset.
Tesfaya Gassese was also fortunate to have the emperor take notice of him. He was training to be a lawyer when Haile Selassie caught him performing.
I was nervous when he came, but still, I guess I was good enough to convince him it was a good performance. Called me in the morning to his palace, gave me his watch, asked me what my plans were. I said, I'm going to go and study law. He said, I asked the minister beside him, how many students are going to study law? I think he answered 12. 12? Oh, that's quite a lot. So we have very many lawyers under training. We need someone in the theater. And said, there the administrators of the theater, the managers and directors were white people. They didn't speak Amharic, the local language. And so he needed Ethiopians to replace them. So he said, it was a sort of an order, you go and study theater. I was graciously accepted it, and I don't I don't regret it at all. I'm very happy with the profession. And well, I know this.
He ended up as the manager of the National Theatre, as well as starring in countless performances. His favorite was Hamlet.
I played Hamlet also, okay, for the emperor. That's another great play. That was the first Hamlet. I had what we call first Ethiopian premieres by our prominent, later on prominent playwrights, were staged by me.
Haile Selassie stayed interested in Ethiopian theatre throughout his life.
See, after him, that's what we missed. There were no leaders to see our productions. But he did attend comedies or historical plays or tragedies. Yeah, he did. And even before the Italian invasion and the establishment of proper theatres in the country, he used to invite people who wrote dialogues or pieces of theatre to his palace for when his children got married, or from wedding parties and things like that. And he gave prizes to the writers and to the actors. So he was a great benefactor of the arts, a patron of the theater and the arts.
Despite his pressing duties as head of state, his personal touch was always felt.
The general populace worshipped him, and so you can imagine him coming here and we small actors being honored by his presence. He usually also stayed late after the show and shook hands with us and said, well, good, and left.
After Ethiopia suffered at the hands of the Italian Air Force during the 1930s occupation, one might guess that the emperor might have wanted one of his own for defensive purposes. But he started Ethiopian Airlines for different reasons. Number one was to connect his own country, which has very difficult terrain to cross.
See, this is where I really caught the emperor, the emperor's wisdom. After independence, he really wanted to modernize this country, this nation. And all the provinces were far apart. And he knew the only way to connect these provinces would not be possible by road because of the mountains and the terrain, it would be damn expensive. So he chose airplanes and that succeeded.
He also saw the airline as a way to link Africa with Ethiopia as its center.
Janoim, Basiltan, Benabur Bazaman, Lazil, Ethiopia, Ayer Manget, Liu Tokurat Sato, Liu Katil Yaragu, Bayegizio, Yemilema Batinina, Yemishashal Batin Manget, Kafto Letal.
And that really put the nation together. You know? And gradually, we wanted to extend this to the rest of Africa. And also, we were very, very sure in the planning that since we are far apart from the rest of the world, we have to be independent. So we started our maintenance right away.
While the early days at Ethiopian Airlines were tough financially, the effort paid off in more ways than one.
The OE was started. There was no other flight than us connecting the nation. And I remember, I forgot the date now, IATA came up. But before IATA, every airline used to pay the tickets he wants to sell for whatever price he wants to quote. Then I attacked him, prices were regulated. All major airlines of the world were broke. Ethiopian Airlines made money.
In 2012, the company made a profit of $42 million. Connected to the rest of the world and Africa by air, Haile Selassie now became Africa's biggest champion, uniting the continent through the Organization of African Unity, or OAU. He wanted to move the continent forward in terms of trade and security to help everyone progress. He saw an opportunity to lead a post-colonial Africa from Addis Ababa to show them how a modern, independent African nation could achieve great things.
Ethiopia has never been occupied, by the way. For 5 years, Italians say we are their colonies, but they were able to monitor only the towns. All the other countryside was controlled by the freedom fighters, Arbenio, what you call them. And because of that, because our independence for centuries, we felt responsible to lead the rest of Africans, you know, to come to that standard. Because they are new. They do not have actually governments like us in history.
There was 33 leaders of the African nations, which had united for the first time. And this was his luck, and he's regarded as the father of the other African nations as well.
Many of Africa's independence leaders went to the emperor for inspiration, advice, and even material support. Such men as Kwame Nkrumah, Jomo Kenyatta, Julius Nyerere, Kenneth Kaunda, and even Nelson Mandela.
Many of them, they were really giving him recognition for what he has done. And we had like Kenyatta and many others, I mean, like Nkrumah.
ዛሬ በሰፊው ይነገርላቸዋል ታውቆላቸዋል እሳቸው የአፍሪካን አንድነት ለመመስረት በዚያን ዘመን ከነበሩት መሪዎች ጋር እየተነጋገሩ እየተስማሙ በአዲስ አበባ ከተማ ላይ ከፍተኛው ስብሰባ እንዲደረግና የአፍሪካ አንድነት ቻርተሩ እንዲፈረም ያደረጉት እሳቸው ናቸው.
We had a good appreciation about Pan-Africanism, and eventually when the AU was established in 1963 and black and white television was introduced for the first time, so it was a very exciting time. So it was the emperor, I think, kind of built in this appreciation of what was happening in the rest of the continent in our young minds.
The OAU found a home in Addis Ababa, in part because Ethiopian Airlines could bring Africa's new leaders together here. Having just celebrated its 50th anniversary and now called the African Union, the organization boasts many achievements. Achievements that would make the emperor proud. They include ending white minority rule in southern African nations, helping to create a new nation in South Sudan, and promoting stability in Somalia. Haile Selassie took a personal interest in promoting peace between African neighbors. His airline would prove to be crucial to his ability to go to flashpoints where his diplomatic skills would achieve dramatic results.
I remember one incident, I think 1965, 66, I'm not sure of the date. Two nations were at the brink of war, Morocco and Algeria, I think. They had their troops, they are all ready. The emperor was there, to the front line. We took him with the 720B. And I remember, there was no jet start, you know, a car that used the pressure to start the engine. So until the emperor negotiated, we kept one engine running for 6 hours, and we brought peace. That's what he did. Everywhere there is a problem, he used to go there with venture. And that continued, and that was what brought Africa really to what it is.
His jetting off to solve other people's problems didn't keep him from paying attention to his own family. Six children from his wife, Queen Menen, Haile Selassie had a large family to be concerned about.
He wrote about how he handled his families, how he related with his wife, and their different social advice. Based on that advice, he wrote to his son.
This is my dear wife, with Anos. With his her grandfather, Majesty Selassie.
Various family members held positions in provincial governments, such as his grandson-in-law, Prince Mengesha Seyoum.
He was a far-sighted person, and it was very easy for him to understand us whenever we brought problems. Of course, as the minister, I was one who was very near to His Majesty.
But he didn't let his relatives take outsized positions in his administration or lineup of advisors.
His fam yarasa betesebochacho besira gudda aygebu. Andand sira lay yetekafelu inorallu. Neger gin ene janoy zemenneñ ene janoy lij betesebneñ bulo በአንዳንድ ሀገሮች እንደታየው ስልጣን አልታየም.
He was worried about his wife's health, but as far as I know from the letter, their relation was very good.
In the 1960s, his family would feel significant pain with the death of Queen Menen. It was a loss that the emperor would feel at home every day. Aware of his own mortality, he kept a thorough exercise regime and a consistent diet.
He had an exercise, he had some weightlifting, everything. He was in good shape. አሁን ያው ልክ ሁለት ሰዓት ይነሳሉ ቁርስ ይቀምሳሉ ጁስ ጧት ጧት ጭማቂ ጁስ ይወስዳሉ በቃ ስለዚያ ቁርስ በሉ ችንታል ትወስዳል ዳቦ ተጠብሳ ያችን ቅጭቅጭ ያደረጉ ቡና ወተጠጡ በቃ
Perhaps at this time he was too focused on building industries and relations with his neighbors. He didn't hear the drumbeat of socialism's growing popularity across the world, in Africa and at home. Ethiopia's land titles still largely belonged to the nobility, and students wanted that changed. And a new socialist movement called the Derg eventually seized power and changed the system. Even many of the emperor's supporters were jubilant when land reform was realized.
The feudal system controlled all the land, 3,000 gashas, and they're not working on it. Sit here. So we're eager to see that. In fact, there was a demonstration way back, the university college, Maret Larashu was a slogan. Let land go to the killer. Although I had a lot of land, I lost 3 gashas of land, but I want it gone, because I'm not there, I'm not farming. So when the Derg came and announced that one, me and my brother-in-law, 8 hours we have been jumping around Addis Ababa, being happy, because that was justice. It must have stopped there. But things continued. You know, we're not politicians, we're just, that was the idea, being fair.
But the new regime would target the monarchy.
We knew that they arrested him. He was somewhere around us because they kept records there. They brought all the records and looked. Nothing, my name, nothing I got. I will not be alive.